Alvul Eretz Edom Leimayr. Hashem said to them at this location. And then he says, Kaches Aaron ves Elozar benoi v'hal isom hoyer ha'hor. Bring Aaron HaKoyen and Elozar up to hoyer ha'hor. And there Aaron will die. V'yalei will hoyer ha'hor le'enei kol Yisrael. And again, we find the name of this location. V'halei dovar hu. That it seems to be, we know the Torah is Meloshon Hayra'o. The Torah is Meloshon instruction. And things in the Torah are not stam, especially if it's mentioned time and time again. Is there any limud that we are supposed to take from Har Har, mountain, mountain? So Rashi starts us off and he tells us, why does it have such an unimaginative name, Har Har? And he says, it's Har al Gabe Har. It was like one mountain on top of another mountain. Ketapuach koton al Gabe Tapuach Godel, like a small apple on top of a large apple. And Rashi continues and gives us a second piece of information. The first piece is, why is it it's called Har Har? It looks like a small mountain on a big mountain. The second piece of information is, why were there any mountains left at all at this stage? Va'afal pisha onan ha'ilich lifneyem. We know the Anani HaKovet came and they leveled all of the ground. Out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ava for Klal Yisrael, they shouldn't have to go up the top of the mountain and down again. They should be able to have smooth sailing over here. Nevertheless, Shloisha Nisharubahen, there are three mountains, Rashi quotes from Chazal from the Medrash Tanchuma, that remained. Har Sinai Latoira. Har Sinai was left upstanding for Kabbalah Satayra, but Har Nevoi Lekvaras Moshe, the place where Moshe Rabbeinu would ultimately be buried before they went into Eretz Yisrael, Har Nevoi, Vahor Hahor Lekvaras Aaron, and Har Hahar, this mountain for the burial of Aaron. So that is the second piece of information that Rashi is giving us, why it was at all that there were any mountains at this point. Now, it's true, Rashi has told us why this place is called Har Hahar. But the question still remains, is there a hero'o? Is there any teaching? Is there a limud that we're supposed to learn from this? Surely, as the Maral tells us, things in the Torah are not stam. Why do I care what the topography of the place where Aaron HaKohen was buried looks like? In what way does that enhance my life in any way? So the MS is, you could give one straightforward answer, which is what the Drosha Soran says in general. And he says that the Torah often goes into details so that you see that it's MS. You see that when it specifies that it looked like this, it looked like that, if it was just a story that somebody had made up, nobody would give all of these details. So sometimes you find the Torah goes into details. And that's a general answer why there are details like this mentioned in the Torah. But still, is it possible there's more to mine over here, especially because it's mentioned so many times? Is there a hira? Is there a teaching over here? So, b'siyata d'shmaya, I'd like to suggest the following. Rashi has told us that there were three mountains that remained. So I was thinking to myself, three mountains, I wonder, could it be that these mountains correspond to three other things? And I was thinking of the Mishnah in the fourth Perek in Pirkei Avos, where Rabbi Shimon says, we know in Chazal, when Rabbi Shimon speaks, Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. In Pirkei Avos, the fourth Perek, in some versions it's Mishnah Yud Gimel, or thereabouts. Shleisha Kesorim Heim, there are three crowns. Keser Torah, Keser Kehuna, the Keser Malchus. What does it mean that there are three crowns? The Mefarshim say, of course, they actually did exist in the Beis HaMikdosh. There was a Keser Torah, there was a rim on top of the Aron Kodesh. There was a Keser Kehuna, there was a little rim on top of the Mizbeach. And there was a Keser Malchus, which was a rim on top of the Shulchan. Now, it's true that they did exist over there in the Beis HaMikdosh. But what does it mean? What is the Mishnah trying to tell us? Shlesha Kusori name, there are three crowns. A crown symbolizes, this is something which we need to give respect to. These are things that Klal Yisrael believes has intrinsic value, and is something which is roi, that we should appreciate. It has chashivus. Keser Torah, Keser Kunah, Keser Malchus. that Klal Yisrael believes that these are things that are prominent. These are things which are larger than us. These are things that we're supposed to show our absolute respect to. Torah, people who learn Torah, people who embody Torah, Kahuna, those who are Eved Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the general way of Asiyas HaMitzvahs, and Malchus of leadership, of ensuring that everybody is taken care of, looking after everybody. Keser Kuna, Keser Torah, Keser Malchus. These are the three Kesorim. I wonder whether it could be that these three mountains are actually the geographical representations of these three ideas of Keser Torah, Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus. Let's think about it. What would be the Keser Torah? Which mountain? Har Sinai, where the Torah is given. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't flatten this terrain, but he kept it up. Of course, Chazal tell us it wasn't too high because it also symbolizes Anivus, but not it wasn't low place on the ground because it's something that was supposed to be Machshiv. So Keser Torah is represented by Har Sinai. What about Keser Kahuna? Which mountain does that correspond to? Obviously Har HaHor, where Aaron is buried. Where he is buried is a representative of Keser Kahuna, the crown of Kahuna. And that leaves one mountain left. Well, what mountain is that? Har Nevoi. So what does that correspond to? Keser Malchus. Why should Har Nevoi, where Moshe is buried, correspond to Keser Malchus? Because Chazal tell us, Moshe had the status of a melech. Like it says, Vayehi Bishurun Melech. It wasn't amongst the Jewish people there was a melech. Rashi explains that is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Abshat. So we find that Har Nevoi was not flattened in order to represent the Keser Malchus, the crown of Malchus. I searched to see if any Midrashim would say this. Couldn't find any Midrashim that would say this, but it seems very, very shayach that these three mountains that Rashi mentions here in Chamishi correspond to these three crowns. But I was thinking, even though the Mishnah says over there in the fourth parak of Ovis that there are Shleisha Kesorim Haim, but then the Mishnah tells us, well, actually, there's another crown. V'keser Shem Toiv Oile Al Gabehen. The crown of a good name rises above them. Now, what does it mean, Keser Shem Toiv Oile Al Gabehen, that it rises above them? The Chofetz Chaim in Avas Chesed Chelik Beis Perek Yud Gimel, he explains what is this Keser Shem Toiv, and why does it actually say Oila al gabeyen? Oila al gabeyen literally means it goes on the back of them. It could have easily said the Keser Shem Toiv Oila aleihen. It just is higher than them. Or Godol mehen is greater than them. What is this Keser Shem Toiv? So the Chofetz Chaim says Shalidei Hashem Toiv Sheyotze al Odom Alidei Masov Hatoivim, that by a person doing good actions, he gets a very good reputation. Hakol roitzim liestabek b'masov. Because people see that he is such a special person, they want to be like him. They want to connect to him. Because they see his actions, they appreciate him. V'shem shomayim miskadesh al yidei zeh. And the Shem Shomayim is sanctified, is enhanced through this person's actions. So the Keser Shem Toiv, in a certain sense, piggybacks one, if you excuse the borrowed expression, one of the other Kesorim. If a person is doing great things in the world, and they're using their Torah, or they're using their Kahuna, or they're using their Malchus, and everybody recognizes it, and everybody appreciates it, and everybody sees it, and they say, we want to be like him. So then that person also merits a Keser Shem Toiv. Now, if we're right that these three mountains correspond, the three mountains of Har Nevoi, Har Sinai, and Har HaHor, that they correspond to Keser Kuna, Keser Torah, Keser Malchus, then maybe if we look at Aaron HaKohen's mountain and we see that it was the Har Al Gabe Har, it seems to be that in some way Aaron HaKohen was zeichet to the Keser Shem Toiv Eila Al Gabehen. And that's why his mountain had another mini mountain on top. And it's a mini mountain because the Keser Shem Toiv goes Al Gabehen. It's something which, it's not just about being popular and everybody likes you. It's a popularity through your good actions. So maybe Aaron HaKohen has a Kesher Shem Tov, but why should Aaron HaKohen specifically have a Kesher Shem Tov in a way seemingly that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have? Surely Moshe Rabbeinu, the Raya Mehemna, exceeded Aaron HaKohen. And even though Chazal tell us, Malam Sheshneim Shovim, Chazal say that some place it says Moshe Rabbeinu before Aaron, and other places it says Aaron before Moshe, Chazal tell us they're Shovim. It doesn't tell us that Aaron HaKohen in any way had some sort of Maila Yaseira on top of Moshe. So in what way could it be that Aaron HaKohen was Zeicha to Keser Shem Toiv, if we're right, in a way that Moshe didn't have? But maybe the answer is another Rashi in this week's Parsha. You see, that Rashi says, when Aaron HaKohen died, by Yerukol Hoido Tigova Aaron, they saw that Aaron had died. And the Mefarshim say that they could really see the difference, what Klal Yisrael was like beforehand, and what Klal Yisrael was like afterwards. And they realized what they were missing. Vayivku es Aaron Shleishim Yoim, they cried for him 30 days. Who? Koil Beis Yisrael. Koil Beis Yisrael means every single Yid. And this is in contradistinction to what we find in Parshas V'Zayis HaBracha, where Rashi also discusses this in the context of the Misa of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says it a little bit more when it comes to the end of V'Zayis HaBracha. There, in the final few Pesukim, it says, Vayivku B'nei Yisrael es Moshe, that the B'nei Yisrael cried when Moshe Rabbeinu died. Why the B'nai Yisrael? Rashi says, HaZachorim, the men, they were mortified when Aaron HaKohen died, because they appreciated the godless when Moshe Rabbeinu died. Shkayach. They appreciated the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Rabbeinu. He was the one who taught us Kol HaTorah Kula. And Moshe Rabbeinu, every single halacha that he learned from Hashem, he would teach it to Aaron, he would teach it to Elazar and Isamar, he would teach it to the Zakenim, then he would teach it to Klal Yisrael, then Aaron HaKohen would teach it to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of this whole process of teaching the whole Torah, every single mitzvah. They all appreciated the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the women at home, they had great awareness of how great Moshe Rabbeinu was, but seemingly they didn't really have any interaction with Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the men who cried. The women would have appreciated him, but it was the men who cried. The children, of course, they all would have had their godel stickers up in their tents, and they'd had Moshe Rabbeinu up, and of course they appreciated him, but we're not told specifically that he had great interaction or involvement specifically with them. So it was mainly the men who appreciated Moshe Rabbeinu and who cried when he died. Aval Aaron, because he would pursue Shalom, v'noisen Shalom bein ish ro'ayehu u'bein ish olabalo. Aaron HaKohen was always involved in disputes. He was always trying to settle disputes. Chazal tell us exactly how he did it, how he spoke to each person. U'bein ish olabalo. Aaron HaKohen was busy helping husbands and wives that they should have Shalom bayis. And he came home, and there were couples who needed to speak to him, and Ne'emar Kol Beis Yisrael, Zachar Mon HaKeves. When Aaron HaKohen died, that not just the men, but also the women, they cried when he died. And Chazal tell us in the Medrash that there were lots of children who were called Aaron. That they, loads of them, they named their children Aaron because it was because of Aaron that they managed to get their act back together, and they managed to stay married, and they managed to have future Dairis Yishorim. And so there were lots of little Aarons. That were walking around in all the Chadorim because they were named after Aaron HaKohen. So even though Chazal normally tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly as it says, there was no Novi like Moshe Rabbeinu. And even though it says Aaron and Moshe sometimes one before the other, Sheshkulim Haim, but in a certain Bechina, in this bechina of how beloved, right? That's why he was so ohuv by everybody. So therefore, everybody cried. So maybe this is the keser shem tov she'ola al gabehen. That maybe he was zeich, like the Chofetz Chaim says, that if somebody is using their koichas And they use it to their max, and everybody appreciates it. Hakol roitzim listabek b'masov. Everybody says, look him, I want my child to be like him. I want to feel a closeness to him. So therefore, maybe he had the bechina of a keser shem toiv she'ola al gabeihen. Just say a small story that may or may not have happened. It may or may not have happened. The story goes that there was a yid who was the finance minister of Emperor Franz Josef of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. In those days, the finance ministers were all yid. So there was a yid. He was a frum yid. He was a kohen. And he had tremendous integrity. And when it came in those days to giving out surnames, Emperor Franz Josef awarded him the name Virtuous. He said, your surname is Virtuous. Someone who is full of virtues. Someone who is a very, very fine person. And he gave this yid the surname Virtuous. And apparently, if the story happened, it says, I heard that he said that you're the only ones in the realm who can use this surname. You're the only ones who can use this surname Virtuous. And Adayim Hazer, it's one family who all have that name. Everybody who has that name is a descendant of this person who allegedly was and it's the Virtuous family. Now, Virtuous in German is Tugendhaft. And if you look in a German dictionary, that Tugendhaft actually means somebody who is virtuous. And we have a family Masaira that may or may not be true, that this name was awarded to my ancestor, who was allegedly, these things are always, they're always spoken a little bit up, you know, but embossed, no, Leidenisch. So allegedly he gave our family that surname, and Adayim Azeh were the only ones who have that surname. Now some of you might be thinking there's someone Tugend Hat, yeah, but no FT, you know, it's a different name. So this is the alleged story. Somebody, again, who was in a certain way, Zoicha, to a Keser Shem Toiv, that his name corresponded to his actions, and he was Taka awarded such a name that maybe is found. We do have... that's it. And we do actually have proof that my great-grandmother, Parka, had interaction with Emperor Franz Joseph, and she would go to him on behalf of the Jewish, on behalf of the Yidden, and we've got written proof of that. So maybe there's something to it. You never know. But anyway, so this could be the Keser Shem Toiv Ola Al Gabeihen, that if a person like Aaron HaKohen, as he was struggling and trying to make Sholem Bein Ish L'Ishtoi, not such an easy thing, Rabbi Isai, to be able to do such a thing, Ubein Ish L'Re'ehu. So little did he know that L'Doire Doiris, they still think they know where Har HaHor is in Jordan, and you can see an image of this little mountain on top of the big mountain, that L'Doire Doiris, this would be concretized, there would be a proper geographical location that represented his tremendous Avodah in being Marbek Kveit Shomayim, having the Keser Kohuna, and also the Keser Shem Toiv. Okay, a little bit after that, moving on to another point. An unrelated point. We have the Nachash Nachoshes after this in Chamishi. And it says that Klal Yisrael, Vayedaber ha'om ba'elikim v'moyshe, lo mo'heli sunu mi'mitzrayim, lo mo'spamidbar. You took us out of Mitzrayim to kill us? Ki ein lechem v'ein mayim, we don't have bread and water, but nafshenu kotzob lechem ha'kaloikel. They had the mon, and they had it gift wrapped to them, tal lamato, tal lamalo, and they had exactly the right amount that a person would need, and it didn't produce any waste, and it had all the tastes in the world, but they called it this lechem hakoloikel. They called it this food that's going to completely mess us up, will mess up our insides, because we don't need to be excused, and they were just grumbling, and they were just complaining, instead of having hakoras hatoiv. So Hashem sent them the nechoshim hasarofim, these snakes, vayenashku es ha'om. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he should do something to save them. Asay lacha sorof v'simay say alnes. So make asay lacha, make for yourself a sorof, and you should put it on this banner. Anybody who is bitten will see it and they will live. Now Moshe Rabbeinu seemingly could have made this snake out of anything. But it says that he made a nachash nachoshes. They asked Moshe nachash nachoshes. He made a davka out of copper. And Rashi says, because of the similarity in the word nachoshes and nachosh, he intuited that it should be made out of that. And people would be mispoinen on this, and then they would live. Now what's going on over here, that they should be looking at this nachash nachoshes, and they should live, and Moshe should realize that actually I should make it even out of a name that corresponds to the nachosh. What is going on over here? What is the hayro'ah over here that we are supposed to take? Is it just a magic that they were all being bitten, they had no akara satoiv, and then you're supposed to look at this sorof, and then you'll all be okay? So Rashi already tells us why a snake. So Rashi tells us that they said bad things. They were complaining, and therefore they'll be bitten by the snake. And the snake is somebody that used its mouth to persuade Chavo. They were ungrateful for the wonderful gift that they had of the morn that could taste of anything. So let the nochosh come, that everything tastes the same to them. And let the nochosh be the one to inflict this pain upon them. And by them, and then they had to be mispoinein, v'ro oisoy. Right? V'ra'iyah ba'alma. Rashi says, okay. Yeah, they had to be mischaven. They had to be mischaven. Right? V'chi nochosh mei mesoy mechayel bizmachri yisrael mistaglin klapay malo. When they weren't just looking at it, but they had to think, they had to be mistakel upwards to Hashem, mishabne eslibon avim shabashomayim, then hoyim mistrapim v'lav hoyim noikim. So, I think there's a very, very interesting and timely thing to mention over here. What is supposed to heal us? It seems as though that the thing itself which weakens us and which causes us the pain is the thing itself that heals us. As we know how they make serums, yeah, and they make vaccines, it's the antigen, it's from the serum of the snake that actually provides the refuah over here. And this is something which is spoken about in the Sforim HaKadoshim, that Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, in Poga B'chol Menuvel Zeh Moshchei Lebeis HaMedrash. If this Menuvel, if the Eitz Hara tries to attack you, bring him in, drag him in to the Beis HaMedrash. So the Poshuk Pshat is you drag him into the Beis HaMedrash, and Im Even, if the Eitz Hara is like a stone, then the Muach, he'll get totally melted. If he's like Barazel, he's been mispoitzitz, he'll just shatter. And you bring in the Beis HaMedrash, and you'll be able to shatter the Eitz Hara. But Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, Zchus Yogan Aleinu, he says actually different. He says there's something more. Don't just beat the Eitz Hara, but actually use the Eitz Hara as your rocket fuel to actually bring you to greater heights. If you see this Eitz Hara, so you should serve Hashem, b'chol levavecha, b'shnei yitzrecha. You serve Hashem with your Eitz Hara as well. You see the passion that you had, or the creativity and ingenuity that a person had as they were planning to do their Aveira, and Davka, use it for Torah. Use the same Hislavus that the Yetzer Hara was using, was tempting you for. Drag him to the Beis HaMedrash and help him utilize the Yetzer Hara to be able to fuel you so that you can learn Torah better. And that's what it means, Moshcheu LeBeis HaMedrash. Use that Ra that you've come into contact with, and use that as your rocket fuel to actually be able to grow higher and closer to Hashem. Now, I was thinking, there are actually two ways that we could be makayim this Allah v'avecho, shnei yitzrecho, using the Eitz Hara. Halavai, a person doesn't even get to Aveira. Like Yosef HaTzadik, and like Reb Amram Chasido, they were in a situation where there was potential for Aveira, like Yosef HaTzadik in the house of Eishes Potifar, and like Rav Amram Chasido, who very, very nearly came to do a great Aveira, until he called out Nurabe Amram and he managed to stop himself and get others to stop him. They, Yosef and Aaron Chasido, they were close to doing an Aveira, but they managed to hold back. Once you manage to hold back, that inoculates you, because you've come up against the Yetzer Hara, you've managed to win, you know you can do this. We've got this, I've done this before, I can do this. So using the fact that the Yetzer Hara has tempted us can help us to overcome. That's one way. But then there's another way also, and that is if Nebuchadnezzar person has already been nechshol, and they've already done Averus. So then they can use the Yetzer Hara, and they can say, I so much now want to do teshuvah, that Dafka, because I had this Yerida, Lo Yaleinu, I'm Dafka going to try and lift myself higher. And we could say that that's really the way the Dovid HaMelech did it. Even though it's difficult to speak about any Averis where the Dovid HaMelech did. But Dovid HaMelech says, Chatzosi Lefonai Somit, he says, my sin is in front of me always. It wasn't the sin the way we would see the sinners. Rav Dessler speaks about, it was on a much higher level. But he felt he had done an Avera. Sometimes, if Nebuch, a person, has fallen in, then they can use the fact that they've been involved in the Yetzer Hara, that can actually spur them. They now want to, that they feel repulsed by it, and they want to grow even higher. So the ideal way of Moshe Lebeis HaMedrash, and the ideal way of using Mishnei Yitzchak the Yetzer Hara, is if he hasn't managed to chapas. But even if he has managed to chapas, that's another way of using him to grow. And here the Nachash Nechoshes is that we've come into contact with this. We're misplaining. What happened to us? What happened to us? We were kofei teva like the nochosh. We used our speech improperly like the nochosh. What's happened to us? And dafka, by looking at the nochosh, being misplaining on the nochosh, that actually inoculated them, and that actually helped them, that then they would actually grow higher. You know, there are two types of vaccine. There's one type of vaccine where they actually inject the person with in order to trigger this immune response. So they use a weakened or a sanitized part of the virus, and they inject it with the person, and the person actually, they've already got some of the virus in them. But then there are these new types of virus, yeah, where the virus actually it develops an immune response without actually bringing the virus into you, but it gets you yourself to be able to make something that triggers that response. So these two vaccines are similar to these two ways. Just, you know, we have to look at the world and we have to see what we can use to help us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's already inside us, we can use it to actually beat the Yetzer Hara. The ideal way is that it's not even inside of us. We can have like a Pfizer approach to the Yetzer Hara, is that that it shouldn't even come into us to start off with, but still to have noticed it, to have learnt from it, and to be able to already inside us create our own antibodies to be able to fight the Yetzer Hara. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help each and every one of us, Be'ezus Hashem, that we should vehibit el nechash anocheshes v'chay, we should have tremendous chiyus in our avodas Hashem, and we should be zeicha to all of the kesarim that we are able to v'kesa shem tov v'la al gabeim.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Am